Greetings and a very warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. We're so happy that you can be worshiping with us online today. I'm David Keel. I serve as one of the pastors here at St. Paul's. I've been here for 30 years, and I'll be leading you in your worship of our Savior God today. And Pastor Pete Panitsky will be delivering the message. It's our last message under the general theme, In View of God's Mercy. And today's specific theme is that in view of God's mercy, we are unified in Christ Jesus. Again, I'm so happy that you can be here worshiping with us today. God richly bless your worship. A couple of notes for what's coming up. On the 29th of September, Pastor Nate Strobel will be starting a new Following the Promise class. It'll be online. You can register for that online, or you can text him or email him to get your name on his list. That'll be a 7 p.m. class Tuesday night, September 29th. Secondly, next week, Sunday, we will no longer be offering the online service that we tape beforehand, but we'll be live streaming our 9:15 a.m. service. Something new, and I think you'll really appreciate the change, having a worshiping congregation as you watch our service online. But basically, what you'll notice if you're here are just some cameras. Other than that, the service will be as you're used to when you watch it taped. We're hoping this would be a more fulfilling experience for you as you worship with a gathering congregation. And then lastly, on September 20th, we're going to be holding another outdoor service, weather permitting. That'll take the place of the bridge service and the 10:45 a.m. service that typically that service meets here in church. We've seen a fairly noticeable difference when we worship outdoors. More people are there than would be here in the building, and we see a lot more families who are here too. So as long as we can do that, weather permitting, we will do that certainly in September here on the 20th and perhaps again in October. So once again, God's blessings, and may your worship of your Savior God be fulfilling to you and a strengthening of your faith.
Thank you so much for joining us in worship here at St. Paul's again. Remember how when you were a kid, you could fold your hands like this, and maybe kids, you still do this, I'm not sure. But many years ago would say, you know, look at the church, here's the steeple and here's the doors, and then you open it up and you see all the people. It's been so long, I've kind of forgotten how to do it. But today, as we wrap up our In View of God Mercy sermon series, we're going to celebrate this marvelous unity that God has created within his church, that all of God's people spread all over the world are united in Christ alone. God bless your worship.
Church's head, you are her one foundation. In you she trusts, before you bows and waits for your salvation. Built on this rock secure, your church shall endure. your name alone confessing, continue in your loving care, true unity possessing, your sacraments, O Lord, and your saving word to us imputed, grant that they may remain our only strength and comfort.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks of the lifestyle choices that glorify God and bring true happiness to his people. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yet I am full of pride.
Blessed are those who mourn.
Yet I struggle to feel sorrow for my sin.
Blessed are the meek.
Yet I am often stiff-necked.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Yet I desire to find fulfillment in unholy things.
Blessed are the merciful.
Yet I am often harsh and impatient.
Blessed are the pure in spirit.
Yet my heart is all too often impure.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Yet many times I do not want to seek reconciliation.
For these and all my sins, I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, even though you are the King of the universe, you became the servant of all.
You humbled yourself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Give us hearts like yours.
Take away our pride. And fill us with the desire to live with all in the love and harmony that comes through the message of your cross.
You live and reign with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first lesson from Holy Scripture, as we celebrate our unity in Christ, comes from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 6, there reading verses 2 through 8. Here we note the faithful God rescuing his people, introducing for us his covenant name for the first time, the name Lord, the God of faithful love.
Exodus chapter 6, beginning with verse 2. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We read responsively verses from Psalm 133, where we note that God loves for his people to live together in unity. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on Aaron's beard.
It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion.
For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded for us by the Gospel writer Matthew in the 15th chapter of his letter, or his book. They're reading verses 1 through 20. The teachers of God's people had lost their spiritual foundation and become blind guides. They were more concerned with human tradition than they were with the truth of God's holy word. Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. There's a lot of tension in our world right now. How do we cope with people who act and think different than we do? How do we deal with people who mistreat us? How do we overcome? Let God's mercy to us be our motivation. Let God's grace be the foundation of our compassion. Look back to the cross and empty tomb. Remember the unfathomable grace and mercy we have received. How do we deal with tension? We find the answers when we remember to live in view of God's mercy.
I'm here, back underneath the cross, because it's only here, in view of God's mercy, that we as God's church can be united. As we wrap up our In View of God's Mercy message series today, it is our prayer that we might be united in Christ alone. Over the last few weeks, we have seen why it is so hard for God's church to be united. We have different spiritual gifts, and Satan wants to use that variety among us as a tension point where one looks down on the other or envies somebody else. We've recognized that we can very easily become enemies of each other, sometimes without even realizing it, hurting each other grievously, and it's hard to get past that. There's the desire for vengeance. We've recognized that our approach and understanding of government can be different, and what's the appropriate response, and we struggle with that. That can divide God's church today. And then last week, we talked about the disputable matters, the things that God has neither forbidden nor commanded, that we can feel very strongly about, and the church can be divided. But the Apostle Paul was writing the letter to the Romans so that the Roman church and our church could be united here under the cross in Christ alone. We're going to be looking at really the last chapter and a half of Romans. We won't be able to read all of it. We'll begin at Romans chapter 15, verse 23, and read all the way through Romans chapter 16. Like I said, we won't read it all, but I would encourage you to get your Bibles out. And where I'd like to start in this study of a long text is the very last verses of Romans chapter 16, because this explains why it is that the Apostle Paul was so concerned that the Roman church would be united, and why it is so vitally important for us as God's church today to be united in Christ alone. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 says, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles, all the nations, might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ." Why did he write this letter? Why did he want the Roman church to be united? So that all the Gentiles, many translations just say, so that all the nations might come to the obedience that comes from faith. The Apostle Paul's goal, our goal, is that people close by, far away, would come to a knowledge of what it's like to live in view of God's mercy under the cross, that by faith, more people can claim this marvelous certainty of forgiveness and a life that will never end. Why is being united in Christ alone so vital to that mission? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about that as he brings his letter to the close. In Romans 15, verse 23, Paul wrote, "But now that there is no room, no place for me to work in these regions," he's referencing of what we would call Greece today, Serbia, Bosnia, Albania, Macedonia, that Achaean Peninsula, the Greek Peninsula. "Since there is no place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while." Why is it so vital for us as God's church to be united in Christ alone? Because then we can help each other carry out this most vital task, what we are really all about as Christians and as God's church, so that the nations, more and more people, can know the peace, the mercy of our God in Christ. It is worth the effort to be united in Christ. Another reason Paul mentions just a little bit later in verse 30, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Why is it so vital that we're united in Christ alone so that we can join together in prayer for each other? I am so fascinated by the Apostle Paul's encouragement and request for prayers over and over again. He's asking Christians all over the Eastern Mediterranean, pray with me, because you join with me in my struggle when you pray with me. He said, pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. Pray for me because the unbelievers are powerfully opposing Paul's message. Isn't that true today too? Let us be united in Christ alone so that we can join together in prayer that those who don't know Christ would not stop the personal ministry of our fellow Christians and the corporate ministry of God's church. And pray that the divisions that come within God's church would not hinder the ministry. The divisions in the early Christian church were real, so great, in fact, that Paul says, you know, I'm bringing an offering to the Christians in Jerusalem, and they may not accept this offering because it's coming from those Gentile congregations. We don't want anything to do with them. The world hasn't changed. Satan loves to sow discord. And the way that we can battle against that is to ask the God who created the world, who has infinite power, to use that power to defeat Satan's desire to separate us. Pray that God's church would be united in Christ alone. Your prayer is powerful and effective. And then in Romans 16, there is this marvelous celebration of the unity of God's church. Read over Romans 16. There are more than 30 names listed. It's Paul celebrating that he has worked with so many of these Christians. And he is so thankful for their labor. He's thankful for men and women who have worked hard in the Lord with him. One of the moms he mentions, she was a mother to me too. One of the things that we can do to hold on to the unity in Christ alone is just to spend some time just celebrating. To spend time in your private prayer life just thinking of the many Christians who have had a huge impact on your life. Maybe there is somebody who has been a mother or a father to you too. Maybe it's somebody here in the congregation that would never even know that you were such a great encouragement, that they were such a great encouragement to you. I think of a fellow Christian in the first congregation that I served. He was a gruff old guy, a World War II vet. And when God called him home, one of our fellow members just shared with me that it meant so much to her as a single mom that Amos came up to her one day and said, "You know, you're doing a great job with your teenage daughter and teenage son. Celebrate the unity that you and I have in Christ. Spend some time just in thankful prayer to God for those people who have made such a difference in your life and in the ministry of God's church here and all over the world. But how do we protect this unity in Christ? Well, what should we do?" The Apostle Paul, after he mentions all of these names in Romans 16, 17, says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil." How do we hold on to the unity that we have in Christ? It's by being a student of God's Word. One of the reasons why we have looked at long sections of Romans in the last few weeks is just to encourage us to be students, not just of one little verse here and there, but students of God's entire Word. To strive to make this book our own so that we're prepared. When Satan brings new reasons for division. Did any of you foresee what was going to happen in 2020? Of course not, right? What's going to happen in 2021? I don't know. But I do know that there will be challenges. Things that Satan will use to try to tear God's church apart. And our best defense is to know the teachings that the Holy Spirit have taught us. This is one of the times that I would encourage you to act. Perhaps you're already joining me in the daily Bible reading devotions. Great, keep it up. If not, perhaps that's the way for you to learn the teachings better. Maybe it's just too much for you. Maybe Pastor Nate's new Following the Promise class is the right place to plug in. Maybe join with me or Mike in some of our Zoom Bible studies that we have. Or perhaps you're already part of a small group that with the COVID-19 world, you're faltering to keep it together. Maybe be the catalyst to say, we want to meet. If not in person, let's meet virtually so that we together can keep on studying God's Word. The challenges are huge because there's a lot of things that Satan can use to divide us. That's what he is. He is a divider. You already see that in the Garden of Eden. Satan divides Adam and Eve from God, their creator. Satan divides Adam and Eve from each other. But then God makes this marvelous promise that the seed of the woman, the promised Savior, would crush Satan's head. And that's why I so much appreciate that the Apostle Paul really closes his letter with these words in verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. The God of peace crushes Satan under our feet when we claim the grace of God. Every one of us has been a source of division in God's church. We've misused or not used our spiritual gifts. We've held grudges. We've stood in judgment of other people. Satan so often has had his way. And rather than give up and defeat, remember, we stand here under the cross. This is where we live in view of God's mercy, that God looks at us through that cross of Christ, that you are God's forgiven saint. And it's when you and I claim his grace, his mercy in Christ, that the great divider, Satan, is crushed under our feet. It is hard work, but it's worth the effort. This week has been a tough week because somebody near and dear to me is probably going to be called home soon. But she knows the God of peace. I want more people to be ready for that day when God calls them out of this world. That they don't have to be afraid, that Satan has been crushed under their feet, that they are God's forgiven saint. That's what my life is all about. That's what your life is all about. That's what God's church is all about. So that all the nations everywhere will know this gospel truth. And so let us strive to build on the unity that we have in Christ. God bless us as we study his word. God bless us as we share our hope. Amen. And the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's celebrate the unity that is ours in Christ by making public profession of our faith today using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. When we meet in person, this is when we typically gather our offering, something that we cannot do when we are worshiping online. I encourage you to continue to offer your gifts to the Lord through St. Paul's. You can do that online, or you can use your offering envelope, dropping it off at the church office or mailing it in. Let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise and glorify you for the unsurpassed gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We confess that we are unworthy sinners who have transgressed your will and word.
We repent of our evil and pray for the faith that trusts utterly and completely in the righteousness of Christ Jesus for our forgiveness.
Open our hearts to the mighty power of your word. Teach us to depend on your holy sacrament for spiritual strength.
Grant that our minds may be renewed in righteousness, that our consciences may be stirred to choose the good, and that every thought, word, and deed may be brought into captivity to Christ.
Give to your church ministers and teachers who have the faithfulness and courage of true prophets, that your people may be built up in faith, abound in good works, rejoice in your love, and finally enter your heavenly kingdom.
We pray for our beloved country. Give us citizens who perceive that the standard of all that is right is not personal advancement or private favor, not public opinion or party platform, but your holy will.
Lavish your grace on all families, that each home may, by its Christian love and character, be for our children a foretaste of the joy and blessedness of our heavenly home. For all who are in any sickness, pain, anguish, or suffering, for all who are in any danger of body or soul, we pray. Teach them to turn to you and wait on you for mercy.
Grant them hope and a joyous deliverance from all their trials, and let them walk in your light all their days.
These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our refuge and hope.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Where the saints have trod. Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the Church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against the Church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.